Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about something I know a lot about. That was getting older, right? And now I'm going to talk about something else I know a lot about, and that is discouragement with low attendance in worship.
Wow.
A couple of weeks ago, we had nearly 100 at Linwood, but last week, 62.
Isn't it amazing how after a big Sunday, we just feel like, man, nothing could be better.
Yeah, and then you come back the next week, and it's like, okay, 30 people aren't here. A third of them aren't here.
Did I do something? Did I say something? What's wrong?
And you go, why couldn't Jesus just come back last week, and we'd end it on a high note?
Yep.
I've been doing ministry for 45 years. I work for the denomination. It still affects me. It shouldn't. I'm not saying it should, but I'm being very transparent about it.
It does.
I go, where are these 30 people? What happened? They were here last week. What's the deal? Well, they all had places. Like, I get it. But my point is, today we're not going to talk about why people aren't consistent. We're going to talk about how you can battle discouragement in perhaps seasons of low attendance.
Yeah.
And some of you guys are in a season of low attendance.
Yeah.
When I was at Warnell Road for the first couple of years, it was a two-year season of under 40 attendance in a sanctuary that seated 600.
Oh, yeah.
So, number one, you can do this is
number,
what?
Number one is this. We have to resist the tendency of comparison.
It is so much harder today because of social media.
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon, you see all these pictures, all these stories, how many people were here and how many people were there, and you know how many people these other churches. Dude, don't compare yourself to another church.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that.
That's right.
It has one of two effects. If you're bigger than that church, you tend to feel sort of prideful and comfortable. And if you're smaller than that church, you tend to feel defeated. And neither one of those are what Jesus wants you to feel.
Well, that's why just practically with social media, you need to know your own heart and you got to be honest with yourself. It might be best to just get off social media, period. But maybe Sundays, just don't get on there, man.
And if you come, you're scrolling, you see, something about somebody. If you can't look at that and rejoice in what they're doing, scroll on.
Let me say something about that real quick. I think, Paul says that we are to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. One of the things that I'm afraid of sometimes, and I see it in my own heart, is I'm better at weeping with those who weep than rejoicing with those who rejoice.
Yeah, because especially when God chooses to do something somewhere else rather than your church.
That's right. And so this is a prayer issue. We need to pray, Holy Spirit, would you change my heart so that I will be genuinely rejoicing with those who rejoice, that I would be excited for other pastors, that I would encourage them that. Hard. Only the Spirit can do that.
Maybe I shouldn't be this transparent because I do have a denominational guy.
Here we go.
But in full transparency, and I don't like this, but I love Linwood. That's my church. That's sort of my first love, frankly, in terms of ministry. And, we have a Sunday or two when we're really down in attendance, and I scroll and I see some guys that are like, they're at mega churches, right?
Yeah.
Guys my age and younger who get called to, a church of 4,000 or 3,000 or something. And I thought that I'm not jealous of them. I'm really not, honestly, because God's given me a really good place to be in ministry. But I honestly, my first flesh inclination is not to rejoice in that.
Yeah.
It's almost to go, oh, you're bragging again.
Yeah. It's to judge their heart. Assume the worst and not the best.
Assume the worst.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from?
I know.
That's not the Holy Spirit telling me to
do
that.
That's the devil,
The Holy Spirit should tell me to be grateful for my brother.
That's right.
That God's choosing to use him there and use me here. And quit comparing.
I know.
And I have to battle that.
Yes.
And look, I know if I have to battle that, you have to battle that.
No, we all do. That's right. We, in our flesh, that's why we need the Lord to change our hearts.
So resist the tendency for comparison.
Yep. Yep. Here's number two. This is really good. Keep the long game in mind. Why is that so important in this?
Because you're here for the long game. This isn't a mission trip. Yeah. You know, you're not going home on the bus tomorrow. I mean, you know, you aren't here for 2 weeks and you're gone. Mm. And you don't know what's going to happen a year from now or 2 years from now. You may be in one of the low. Again, Elijah spent 2 years with a congregation of two people. Right?
Yep.
A widow
That's
and
right.
a son, okay?
That's right.
I mean, you don't know what God's doing in your life right now. He's edifying you. He's shaping you.
Mm-hmm.
This, these 3 Sundays in a row, this 1 year doesn't define who you are.
That's right.
God has you here for a reason.
That's right.
Keep the long haul in mind. You're here for a lifetime of ministry.
Yeah.
And he's doing something in your life right now, even with this low attendance, probably to teach you to rely on him for your joy and not on results.
That's right.
And to see how you will behave in times. Remember when Jesus sent out those and they came back and rejoiced that the demons were cast out and the sick were healed? And Jesus said, whoa, hold on, don't rejoice in the results, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven.
Yeah.
And so it helps us. One of the things when you have a church that's declining and does low attendance, it forces you to rejoice in nothing but Jesus and
what
he's done for you.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Next one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, number 3, find your value in the cross. And that's what you just hit.
It is. It forces you to find your worth as a pastor. Is your worth as a believer? Your worth as a believer is what Jesus has done for you.
Yeah.
And when you feel worthless, and I have, and you feel like a bit of a failure, and I have, and you think, I can't pastor this church, and I've felt that way, and it's going down, that's when you go to the cross and you say, I can't do this. I think I've told you before, I was at Warnell 3 or 4 years, and it wasn't going well at all, and you know, we had a storm the night before, and the electricity went off, and then it came back on, the sound system was giving feedback all morning, it wouldn't work right. And my sermon was it just was a dumpster fire of a sermon. And I didn't even want to hear myself preach it. And, we had a couple of visitors there, and I was preaching one of my worst sermons I probably ever preached in my life.
Yeah.
And the sound system kept feeding back. And and my wife, I mean, bless her heart, she was trying to be encouraging to me, but she couldn't even make eye contact with me half the time. It was such a bad Sunday. And I kept looking over there, and I just thought, oh, my word. And so I thought, well, I'll just end this thing with a story, right? I can always tell a story, which, again, is something in your flesh you shouldn't do. So I start telling this illustration, and hey, maybe I'm getting the crowd back, you know? Maybe we can land this thing. Well, because we'd had a thunderstorm the night before, the clock got all messed up, and so our clarion that played hymns at 12:30 started playing at about 11:45.
So
as I'm telling this story, this song starts playing, you know, Nearer My God to Thee, like the Titanic's going down. And I'm thinking somebody in this church is going to run upstairs to the bell tower and turn that off. Nobody moves.
Nobody did, yeah, of course.
And honestly, this is absolute truth. I just stopped right in the middle of my story, and I said, well, apparently we're done today. God bless you. Drive safely. And I walked out the back door, and I walked 2 blocks to the high school with my microphone still
my
on
word.
Me. And I sat in the stands of the high school, and I cried.
Oh,
and I just said, I'm 50 years old. This thing's a mess. I'm a failure.
Yeah.
I can't do that. And at that point, God said to me, finally, you realize you can't do this.
Wow. Yep.
And so I think he puts us in. Now, did it come back to life the next week? No.
No.
It was another several years.
Yep.
But keep the long haul in mind.
Yep.
And sometimes Henry Blackaby said, the man God uses, he always breaks. And sometimes he breaks more than once. And he may be doing that in you.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Next one.
That's good. Thanks for sharing that. The next one's this. Number 4 is celebrate discipleship growth among your flock.
Yeah. Quit growing. Quit focusing so much on do we have 63 here today or 42 here today?
Yeah.
And how is God moving in the lives of these marriages?
Yeah.
How are these children learning more about Jesus?
Yep.
How is this widower who's now alone without his spouse? How do I see him learning to love Jesus more in the midst of his loneliness? Start looking for those kinds of results rather than the simple thing of, well, we had 20 more here than we had last year.
Mm-hmm.
That is so shallow.
That's exactly
and
right.
And it can depend on so many. You could have a church down the street that splits, and you get the 15 troublemakers who show up, and you go, you feel good about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Meanwhile, nobody's getting discipled.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Rejoice in the right things.
Yeah. Here's number 5. And by the way, I think at the beginning I said there were 5 ways. There's actually 7 ways. So here's number 5.
Okay.
Love the. This is really important. love the church that you have, not the one you wish you had.
And that's Jared Wilson. He said that the first time I ever heard him.
Yep.
And I just, you can't look beyond the folks you've got there.
Yep.
And if you show up and there's 30 people there and you wish there were 50 or 60, if you don't deeply love those 30, if you can't rejoice in the 22 that are there, you've got to go check your heart being a pastor.
Right. That's right.
You've got to be overjoyed with those who come. If there's any sense in you that you're disappointed that more people aren't here, what does that say about the people who are there?
No, that's exactly right, man. Yeah, you listen, the Lord, again, if he is in his kind providence given you these sheep to shepherd, and you shepherd them with all that you are. I mean, again, I think of why would the Lord entrust us with much if we are not faithful with the little that we have, whatever that is.
So true.
And so we've got to be faithful. And that really is a test of a pastor's heart.
It is.
Is do you love the sheep who are there? The other thing that jumps out at me, I want to just share this, is, you know, love the church that you have, not the one that you wish you had. I can remember in the first few years here at Calvary, and, you know, I remember the first Sunday, I've got it written down. I think there were 19 in the sanctuary. And I was like, okay, Lord, here we go. Here we go. Let's do this thing. Trying to love these folks. And I just remember praying. And, you know, our story, we never have seen any kind of explosive growth at all.
Right.
It's one life at a time. It's one family at a time. Well, toward the end of the first year, I think maybe we'd grown from 19 to 30 or something or 40 in worship. And we saw a unique move of God, and it was something that I would have never planned. I would have never picked. We have a laundromat. So, you know, right here in this neighborhood where we are, there are a lot of needs in this community, and there's a laundromat right across the street. Well, one Sunday morning, there was this a sweet lady. She was a recovering addict. She was a single mom trying to get her life back together. She's at the laundromat. And they have like Kenneth Copeland or some prosperity preacher up on the TV in the laundromat. And somehow in this, I can't remember exactly how it all played out, but basically she was like, Copeland was talking about how you need to be in a church that preaches the gospel. And she's like, well, what? I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Well, she looks out the window and there's our little church. And so she walks over. Uh-huh. She's got a couple little kiddos. She finds one of our two deacons at the time. And says, I don't know why I'm here, but I think God told me to come here because I was just watching the TV and you're the closest church and I'm supposed to hear the gospel. And so they like walked her into the church. Well, no joke. I'm preaching my guts out.
Yeah.
Preach the gospel. The Lord saves her. Okay. Unbelievable. Radical conversion.
All right.
And we baptize her. Now, here's the thing. We baptize her within a couple of weeks. Well, here's what I didn't realize. In this community, single moms, low income, they know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were about 15 single moms who show up, doubled our church on that Sunday, the next Sunday.
To see
the baptism with all these little kids. We've been praying for little kids.
That's great.
And we've been praying for the lost.
That's great.
And Lord brings them and three or four get saved.
That's great.
We baptize them. Well, God chose to grow this church in the early years. People don't know this.
Right.
Through a whole group of single moms who'd been through dumpster fire marriages.
There you go.
And who Jesus saved and brought their little kiddos. And he's like, this is my church, Mark. Right. And these are the sheep I want you to shepherd.
That's great.
And so anyway, I love sharing that because again, that's the church that God called me to
It's
to
not
shepherd.
The church you would have
it's
selected.
It's not the church I would
you
have selected.
Love the church you have, it's not the church, you
that's
wish
right.
you had.
That's right.
We're going to go two more real quick.
Yep.
When you feel discouraged, and you will, that's your cue to not feel self-pity or entitlement, or look for another church, or a resentment at your members for inconsistency, that is your cue to plead with God to give you a heart for evangelism and to make a commitment that week that you're going to share your faith. That's what that is.
That's good.
Use that discouragement you're feeling as a stirring in your heart. Lord, stir my heart for evangelism. Don't let me become lazy and realize I need to share Jesus with somebody.
Yeah.
And then the last one, create a strategy to go after the sheep. Mm-hmm. I love what Henry Blackaby said. You are the under-shepherd. The shepherd, he doesn't lose sheep. Mm-hmm. I mean, once in a while, they're going to go and you can't get them back. But if they just wander off, you can't just be mad at them for leaving. You got to go find them.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah,
don't resent them for not being there.
Yeah, that's
Follow
good.
Up that week.
Yes.
Hey, man. And listen, I heard you say it, I think, one time.
Yep.
Don't say, hey, we missed you.
Yeah.
Right? Because then it's like, you're almost like you're scolding them, right?
Yeah.
And then they don't want to hear from you. Yeah. Just call them and say, hey, everything. I just want you to know I was thinking about you, praying for you. Yeah. So glad you're in our church.
Don't make them feel guilty.
Can I do anything for you this week?
Love you, man.
Love you. Yeah.
That's right.
That's all you got to do. That's don't say, where were you? We missed you. Yep. But just stay in touch with them. And one of the things you can do, Endeavor talks about this, take your church directory as a pastor, especially a normative-sized church pastor, and every month, if you can, if you've got a smaller church like I do, pray through that church directory.
Yep.
Pray for every family by name.
Yep.
Use that sense of discouragement as a call to be a better shepherd, a better evangelist, and to pray for your people.
That's right. That's right. And I would say this, just as an add-on to that, is developing a strategy for how do you know when your sheep are gone?
Yeah.
In other words, like it used to be that churches used to take attendance, right?
Right.
You pass the
foot.
Well, we don't do that. What we do in our church is we have two folks in the back with iPads, literally.
Okay.
And are keeping track of everybody who's in there.
Wow.
Why? Because we've got to know, if we're responsible for these sheep, who was there, who wasn't there, how long have they been gone? I would say in a smaller church, it's much easier to do this.
Yeah.
But you've got to have a system.
That's good.
And it's not so that you can get on people and be, it's so that you can be a good shepherd.
That's right.
And run after the sheep.
Because somebody may be gone 3 or 4 weeks and you've never followed up.
And you don't even
them.
Know. And guess what? It doesn't matter. They're going to turn. They'll say, well, nobody called me.
Right. And I agree with Henry Blackaby. Yeah. You're the shepherd.
That's right.
If a sheep is gone, you go after
it. That's right.
That's what shepherds do.
Yep. And you go after over and over again.
That's right.
Don't just say, man, well, I sent an email.
No.
Didn't hear back. Well, then listen.
No.
You call.
You
well,
go.
They didn't answer.
You stop
well, then
by.
Go knock on their door.
That's right.
You go.
That's
you pursue
right.
the
That's
sheep.
That's yep. All right. Hey, thanks for listening to Revitalize and Replant. Check us out at churchreplanters.com. Please subscribe to our podcast. Thank you for letting us do this. We love to do it. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.